There was a tightrope walker who supposedly reported that he could push a wheelbarrow across a tightrope several hundred feet in the air, suspended between two tall buildings. And there was a crowd that had gathered, and to the crowd he said, "Who here thinks that I could do it?" One man raised his hand, and he said, "I think you can do it." To which the tightrope walker replied, "Good, then get in the wheelbarrow." I've been showing you videos, and we've had video clips of, Mark, can you get the lights? Video clips of this message that we've been going through, this six-week series on Get Your Feet Wet. And I've been showing you video clips taken from Matthew. I have another one. I want it to be so embedded in your mind that you continually think about this. Watch the video. There you have it. In claymation, the story of the walking on water. I want it to be so embedded in your mind that you continually think about it. And we have now spent 6 weeks going through Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And the series was Get Your Feet Wet. And today, the title of the message, Colin, can you get it up there real quick, is also Get Your Feet Wet. And we'll get there, so we get on there. We go, now we're in the right spots and stuff. And it's a story of Jesus walking on the water and then Peter getting out of the boat to go meet with him. And there are two points that I want to make about this story, and I made mention to one of them last week, and it is that we need to focus in the right direction. The direction of Jesus when we are in the midst of the storms of life. Looking elsewhere will cause us to sink. We have to look to Jesus and fix our gaze and our hearts on him. The second thing is that we have to be willing to get out of the boat in order to live the life that God wants us to live. These getting out of the boat moments are not necessarily everyday occurrences. Certainly, walking on water was not an everyday occurrence for Peter. But they are critical moments, necessary for our faith to grow and our lives to have a quality of purpose and character to them and in them that God has always intended for us. So then, the purpose of these kind of moments is to help us live through and overcome, in Jesus' name and power, those moments of fear and uncertainty, and then to break through to a higher level of faith and confidence in the Lord, and then through the Lord. Now, we have examined this passage from many different angles, and you will probably never, ever read it the same again, especially after the claymation. Our main text for this morning is only one verse. It is verse 29 of the story, and it reads like this, and you can follow in your Bibles if you want, or Colin has it up there for you to read along. "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I want us to notice something in the story that perhaps you have never noticed before, or maybe you did notice it, but then you thought nobody else would ever believe if I said something. Jesus did not immediately call anyone to get out of the boat. Not until Peter asked him to do so. The first thing Jesus did was to quiet their fears by letting them know that it was him. We read in verse 27, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.'" And then that is when Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And then, and only then, does Jesus say, "Come." I'm not sure if Jesus was going to have any of them get out of the boat. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. We don't really know. But as was mentioned in one of the first sermons a few weeks ago in this series, at some point, probably just after Jesus identified himself, Peter focused on Jesus and not on the storm that was raging around him. then at some point. He had this powerful moment from deep within inside himself, and Peter heard himself utter, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you." He then found himself doing what seemed impossible. He got out of the boat, and he actually walked on water. What fascinates me is that Jesus seems to play more the responder in this situation than the initiator. However, it also appears that Jesus may have set the situation up to see how the 12 would respond and to see what kind of faith they currently had. He told them, get in the boat and cross over to the other side of the lake. And this came after the feeding of the 5,000. And in Mark's account, in chapter 6 of the book of Mark, we see that Jesus saw that they were in trouble. But he waited until 3 a.m. to go out to them. How long did he wait? Why did he wait so long? Do you ever wonder if the disciples questioned after they parted, how is Jesus going to get to the other side? We're the ones in the boat. What comes to my mind at this point is Peter's response. Tell me to come to you. You see, that is an act of great faith. It is an act of worship. Peter is making a statement about Jesus and what he believes about Jesus. But what was going on within Peter to make him say such a thing? What would make Peter want to get his feet wet? What would want to make him risk his life? John Ortberg, in his book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat, he asked this question, where is God calling you to walk on water? I'm going to ask that question again. Where is God calling you to walk on water? How many here are uncomfortable with that question? Why? Fear. And so as we conclude this series, our focus will be on what Ortberg calls four indicators that might be signs that perhaps God is calling you to get out of the boat, to get out of your comfort zone for a while, to take a step of greater faith in the Lord in your life and in your spiritual journey. As we examine each one of them, I'm going to try to suggest how they might have played out in Peter's mind based on our text here. The first indicator is one that you may be familiar with. We've talked about it briefly over these past 6 weeks. It is fear. Our series leaves no doubt that fear was a part of the situation that the disciples found themselves in. They screamed in terror, thinking that he was a ghost. This is the easiest indicator. For Peter to get out of the boat, he was afraid of going down with it. Think with me on this for a moment. Peter, he was a fisherman who had fished this lake for his business. And I really believe he knew just how turbulent and sudden this lake could change. Maybe he also knew friends or family, or maybe even competitors who had drowned while out fishing and getting caught in a storm just like this. Maybe, just maybe, Peter had been caught in a storm before. Fear is a strong motivator sometimes, right? And sometimes when we experience fear, the Lord meets us, as he did right here. And he wants to help us face our fears, because the path that we need to take is through them and not away from them or around them. Lord, help me to get through this. Don't remove me from it, but help me to get through it. Last week, we spoke of the fear of failure. I would also suggest that when it comes to getting out of the boat moments, and fear. That we also have the fear of rejection and the fear of ridicule. As I work with teenagers and with youth, and I remember back to rejection and ridicule that comes with that time of life. Sometimes if you said what you really felt or what you really thought, you were met with stinging and unforgettable mockery and ridicule and sometimes instant rejection. What fear are you experiencing right now? That might be a sign that God wants you to get out of the boat and take a great step of faith. To overcome that fear that is blocking your path and your spiritual progress. Maybe it's the fear of failing. Things like this. I would really like to lead a small group, but I can't. I think that God is calling me to teach a class, but I'm afraid I would mess up. I think that God has called me into the mission or to ministry, but I'm afraid that I can't afford it. I'm afraid that God is calling me to stick with this current job, though it is getting stressful and I really want to quit. But there are also other indicators, three other ones that we'd like to talk about, that might be a sign that God is calling you to get out of your boat. Frustration is one of them. Maybe you are frustrated about a situation and you are not sure that you can take much more. This is where prayerfully considering how and if to get out of the boat is vital. See, walking on water, it's not an impulsive act, but a measured act of faith. Now, I'm not sure if Peter was frustrated in this particular situation. Maybe he was. We don't really know. Maybe he looked around. And we don't know how much time passed through all this time, but maybe he looked around. And in those moments of his spiritual awareness, he thought, why are we all sitting here if that is Jesus out there? I'm going to tell him to tell me to come to him. I'm tired of sitting here in this boat and letting fear have its way. Is there an area of frustration you have right now that might be God's way of getting you out of your boat? Now, here's a word of warning. Be careful in assessing frustration, because sometimes we can let our own agendas get in the way of God's agenda. Pray about it, seek good counsel, and then if it is God's will and God's push, then get out of the boat and walk on that water. And then there is compassion. Many people experience a compassion that comes out of frustration, that something is not right, and it leads them to compassionate acts. Many far-reaching and effective acts of caring in our history have come out of a person's compassion being the indicator for a get-out-of-the-boat experience. Mother Teresa, she is actually Albanian descent. She felt God calling her into some kind of ministry. And she went to Ireland where she got a little bit of training and then went to work in India. And she worked in an orphanage in India. And while she was in this orphanage, and she was working with these poor people, she could see outside the walls even poorer people who nobody ever wanted to work with. She, after working several years at this mission place, asked for permission to leave the walls and go work out there. She took up Indian residency and became a citizen of India, and she worked the rest of her life with people who were so poor out there that nobody else really wanted to work with them. She called it the calling within a calling. She had compassion for these people that nobody else did. And now in these days of high drug prices, it seems that frustration with the disease would be the last thing on a doctor's or a scientist's mind in the research lab. But I would wager to suggest that research that is born out of a frustration with disease is behind most of the major drug discoveries and the development that takes place. In reading about people like Jonas Salk, the man who discovered the cure for polio, I think we get a sense that sometimes a quiet frustration was working under the surface that helped him to beat that disease and to come up with that cure. Now, again, I'm not sure how Peter would have shown compassion to the other 12 while they were out in this boat that's rocking back and forth, because it could very well have been every disciple for himself. Maybe, though, in that moment of spiritual awareness, Peter looked and he saw the faces around him, and he was moved with compassion to get out of the boat and go to Jesus, who Peter knew could and would do something. What moves you to compassion? What breaks your heart? Who breaks your heart? And fourth, and finally, there is prayer. Now, how might prayer be God's way of getting you out of your boat? Look at your own experience in prayer for a moment. How many times has your prayer life caused you to say, without God in this situation, I cannot get from point A to point B? It is often during boat rocking, storm surging, wave crashing moments that we get on our knees, we bury ourselves in our Heavenly Father's lap, and find the strength and the will to get up, to get out of our boats, and to walk toward the Lord. Do you ever pay attention to your prayer life? By this, I don't mean the amount of time you pray or how long your prayer list is, or even what time of day you pray. I mean, do you pay attention to the impressions that you experience within your prayer? Do you ever sense as you pray a change within you that creates a fear that needs to be addressed, or a frustration that needs to be resolved, or a compassion that is beginning to take shape within you? That just might be a signal from God that you need to get out of your boat and start walking on water in the direction that He wants you to go. So what does all this mean for us today? Or maybe even this week? Well, I did this series and started because way back then, and I still do now, believe that fear, directly from Satan's lair, has been wreaking havoc on Christians in this nation and all around the world. And that we have given into it. And we find ourselves on the defense. Since when is that okay? Now, I acknowledge this fear. And I certainly understand it. I have been doing battle with it these past 6 weeks myself. And it's been a tough battle. However, I also acknowledge this as well, that God is our source of power and life. And greater is He that is within us than he who is in the world. Greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. You see, it all comes down to perspective. Perspective is important in the passages that we have spent these past 6 weeks on. And like Ortberg's question in regard to our perspective, we need to develop a God-centered perspective. And as Ortberg points out in this book, he says, courage, I am, don't be afraid. Now, I believe that. It is part of my creed. I have committed my life to teaching others about it. Yet all too often, my life does not reflect it. All too often, I shrink back when I should confront. I worry when I could pray. I cling when I could generously share. I stay in the boat when I could walk on water. So how can I change my perspective? How can I come to believe in the sufficiency of Christ for my life the way I now believe in gratitude? How can I live in a way that reflects that I follow a God who is so big? Where does some change need to take place in your life so that you will respond by faith to Jesus' call to get out of your boat, your place of comfort, and then go to Him and follow Him? Prayerfully discern that area. Choose every single day to place your life and your will in God's hands. Share with one or two other faithful believers what you are thinking about and what you've been praying about. And then with confidence in the Lord, act. Get up and get out of the boat. Let us, each one of us, allow God to develop our faith into a faith of confident assurance that will enable us to stand tall in the storm through the fear, so that when He says, come, we will get out of our boat and we will start this walking on water. These past 6 weeks have been to encourage you. Encourage you that if God is calling you to do something, stand up, get up, and walk on water. Now, as the worship team comes up, like I've said, I want this to really embed in your mind. And I thought of this last night, kind of, actually a little bit, and put it together and stuff. And so Colin's going to show us a video. Not a video you would normally think of watching, and maybe John and the kids should come down and watch it with us. But here's a video so that this walking on water is embedded in your minds.